What?
Can you get your bitch?
No, I don't use that on Sunday night. Ladies, have you ever heard someone say, "This is the first mistake I made all day"? Or someone who's a little more arrogant might say, "Well, this is the first mistake I made this year." Or you might be like the guy who said, "You know, I made a mistake. Actually, I just thought I made a mistake, and so I was wrong about making a mistake, and of course I wasn't." We all like to joke about the fact that we make mistakes. We have that in common. And sometimes it's because we don't have the right information, or we've just made a bad decision or judgment. Sometimes just make wrong choices. But we need to understand that mistakes aren't necessarily sins. But they can become sins, almost like a domino reaction. One mistake leads to another as you try to, you know, take care of the first mistake. You make another one, and soon you're just getting deeper and deeper, and the dominoes just keep falling. Y'all have known me enough to know that I'm not an expert in anything, but I'm almost an expert when it comes to mistakes. And I'll do goofy things, and I just think, well, I made another Danny, you know, another Danny Stewart. Just ask my family. If you don't believe me, just ask my family. They can tell you about a lot of Dannys. Do you feel like me? That have you made enough mistakes in your life to pretty well make you an expert in making mistakes? Well, this evening, we're going to take some of my mistakes and some of your mistakes. We're going to shake them all together, and we're going to see what we can learn from our mistakes. There's different categories of mistakes. We're going to talk about four of them. All four are found in the Bible. And the first mistake is a panic-prompted mistake. We're just in too big a hurry. We're afraid something's going to happen. And so we take quick action to keep it from happening and just throw open the door to mistakes. Worried about some thing that's going on, mistrusting God's ability to take care of it and control of it. So we take control, and in our panic, we just make a mistake. A mess. We just make mistakes. For example, remember the story of Abraham. God spoke to Abraham, told him to leave his homeland, get out of Iran, and go to a land where God would bless him and his family. And God promised that he would be the father of a new nation. Now think about this. A new nation. God promised that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so Abraham packed up the U-Haul camels, and away they went. Not really knowing where they're going, just allowing God to lead them. When Abraham got to the end of his journey, he built an altar to God. He knew that God was in control. And God told him, "This is the land I promised you. Stay here. Don't move out of this land. Stay here." And time passes, and in Genesis 12, verse 10, Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. That's a panic-prompted mistake. Abraham promised God, I'm going to stay put. You led me here, I'm going to stay put. But when famine came, Abraham was afraid that his family and his animals would starve. And so because he was worried, he panicked, picked up his bags and family and animals and servants and moved them all to Egypt. And the first domino fell. The second domino is found in verses 11 and 12. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai his wife, she'd let her be known as Sarai, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." That's mistake two. And the domino falls. One mistake led to another. And the first thing you know, Abram and Sarai were in some very hot water in Egypt. It shouldn't be surprising that only the intervention of God saved them. Now, let's bring it down to today. We make panic prompt mistakes, and we often make them in the area of romance and finance. How many times have you met a person passing the mystical age of 30? You remember when 30 sounded old? And they're passing the mystical age of 30. And they hadn't met that one they're looking for. And they are about to panic. "I'm going to be a bachelor." Or, "I'm going to be an old maid. And no one will ever love me. What am I going to do?" And so in panic, they grab the first woman or man they find. They get married. They throw away their morals in the hope of catching someone, anyone. And the result is a domino chain reaction that makes their lives so much worse, not a bit better. How many people do you know who wish they could go back and do it right? In fact, oftentimes in the area of romance, whether it's 20, 30, 40, 50, 71, people panic. In finance, we do the same thing. It's so easy today to get yourself in a financial bind. Offers for credit cards, have you noticed? They just keep coming in your mail. And I keep tearing them up and throwing them away. Stores urge us to use the easy payment plans. And first thing you know, many folks, they wake up realizing they don't have enough money to pay all these bills for all these things that they bought. And so they panic and they run down to the quick loan place and get a bill consolidation loan for lower monthly payments. But the problem is, now that they have a little breathing room, they start charging all over again. And the circle just goes on and on and on. And it soon becomes worse than ever. And the dominoes are falling in every direction imaginable. Panic-prompted mistakes often start out as just little problems. But like the dominoes, the momentum gets out of hand And the result is they find themselves in a mess, sometimes a sinful mess. There's another kind of mistake. And these are mistakes due to neglect. I don't know that there's a better example in Scripture of this than King David. And King David made a lot of mistakes, but he was still called a man after God's own heart. Still made some glaring mistakes. For example, David had 18 wives. That's 17 mistakes right there, right? But in 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, that passage tells about David and Adonijah, one of his sons. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, one of his wives, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Now listen to this. And his father had not rebuked him at any time. Actually, the word rebuked is literally never pained him. Now, we know what that means, right? What it really means is David had never blistered his rear end. Disciplined him at any time. And the result was that Adonijah developed a selfish and rebellious nature due to David's neglect. And this attitude said, "I want to be king. I want to overthrow my father from his throne. I want to have the power that rightfully belongs to me right now." And one reason that he was that kind of son was because of David's neglect as a father. David made the same mistake that many of us have made and probably are still making. He became so busy being king. That was important. He was so busy being an administrator, he neglected his family. And neglect, of course, is not just limited to family. It obviously will hurt us spiritually. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. Aren't you glad you're here tonight? You being here tonight speaks volumes about what we're discussing. I want to read from the New Living Translation, Hebrews 10:25. Now, most of you know that passage, but I want you to listen. You know, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. This is how it reads. "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." And so the actions of this passage is, don't neglect meeting. Make sure you're encouraging one another. You're not neglecting your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're not neglecting your spiritual life because you're going to encourage others and they are going to encourage you. That's why you're here. You're not neglecting your spiritual life. It's so easy to get busy and involved in other things and completely neglect your spiritual life. That's a mistake that's often made. And then the third mistake is unrestrained curiosity. Inquiring minds want to know. You ever heard that? In 1 Samuel 28, King Saul is beginning to lose all confidence and for good reason. He disobeyed God over and over and over, and he now realizes God is no longer with him. The battles are not going in his favor. And he feels a desperate need to talk with a spiritual advisor, the prophet Samuel. There's a problem, though, because Samuel's dead. And so what does Saul do? On the basis of some really bad advice, he consults a spiritual medium who claims that she can communicate with the dead. And the result is shocking. King Saul himself is dead within 24 hours. Unrestrained curiosity, in part, resulted in his death. This could very well be the primary sin of younger people today, not just kids, but younger, even younger adults. In our teenage world, and even younger, there is so much emphasis on what is evil, and even satanic. And unrestrained curiosity lures many people into these very, very dark places. It may begin as an innocent mistake, you know, inquiring minds want to know, but it becomes a sin that robs them of their spiritual life. The drug scene, which includes alcohol, is satanic. It's just satanic. It's evil to the core. And it's influenced and controlled by Satan. And so if you're playing that game with abusing chemicals, whether they're prescription or black market, you're playing with a spiritual world that will grip your soul and squeeze you to death eternally. But inquiring minds want to experience unrestrained curiosity. You name the temptation. Sure, other people do it and tell you it's the thing to do if you want to be accepted. You ever heard that when you was a kid? Or maybe even older? God's word cautions us to be aware of the dangers. To walk circumspectly, aware of everything around us. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What a promise. Avoid the evils that can result from unrestrained curiosity. That fixes a lot of problems in our society. And then lastly, there are spiritual blind spot mistakes. Mistakes we make because we're unable to see ourselves as we really are. The Apostle Peter experienced this. Kind of surprising. He had a blind spot. When he was among the Gentile brethren, members of the church, he was just one of the group. They were all just fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But when the ultra-Orthodox Jewish Christians, the Judaizers, came to town, he immediately stopped fellowshipping with the Gentile Christians the way he was fellowshipping. He quit eating with the Gentile Christians. Suddenly, because of peer pressure, he showed partiality with the Jews. And again, we're talking about Peter. He had a blind spot about what he was doing. Now, when Paul saw the division that had been created, he confronted Peter face to face. He wrote about it in his letter to the churches of Galatia, where this was happening. And he said, Galatians 2, verse 11, Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrites. He affected all the other Jews. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Barnabas, the greatest encourager, was led away by Peter's blind spot. And as a result of Paul confronting him face to face, Peter opened his eyes to that blind spot. None of us are immune to spiritual blind spots. For instance, it's easy to see the mistakes that others are making. It's easy to see the Danny Stewart's mistakes I make. None of us are immune to mistakes. None of us, in fact, are immune to spiritual blind spot mistakes. I wrote down some things that I've heard at the back of the auditorium over the last 45 years that people have said after I preached. And the reason I don't have much hair is because I pulled it all out when people would say things like, "I sure hope so-and-so heard that sermon. They really needed it." I wish so-and-so had been here. They really needed to hear that. They really needed to hear that sermon on gossip. Let me tell you what I heard about them. I've literally had somebody say that to me. And I just said, "I'd rather not hear that gossip." Oh. Spiritual blind spot. The sermon may have been speaking right to you and me, and we weren't listening and applying it to ourselves because we have a blind spot. In fact, sometimes the weakness in others disgusts us most, although it's our greatest weakness. We need to open our eyes and realize the blind spots that are there. Where do I need to grow? We could go on and on, but the question is, of course, what will we do with our mistakes? You remember when there used to be bumper stickers? It's kind of fad, I guess. People don't want to do that anymore. But one of those stickers said, "Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven." I like that. We're just forgiven. We're not perfect. That's the message tonight. We all make mistakes, and every one of you could add to everything we've said about how easy it is to make mistakes. The good news is that despite all the mistakes that we make and all the things that we do wrong, even while we're trying to do right, and all the times we stumble and fail and mess up, God still says, "Come back again. I want to forgive you. I want to empower you, strengthen you, help you grow." God still demands that we need to become like Jesus. And so we just come back. We're still working on you. And He empowers us to do that. And so the question for each of us tonight is, hey, Danny, will you draw near to Him so that He'll draw near to you? Will you walk closer to Him? That's where He wants you. In the light, in fellowship with Him. And when I make the mistakes, when I make the Dannies, God's still saying, come on, come back. Sometimes it's not even I've walked away from Him. I've just made foolish mistakes. But God wants us back. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be in heaven with Him. That's why He sent Jesus. If you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.